High sticking with Goldfinger. In my early 20s, I accepted a date with a man I met in a nightclub. He owned a major business, and I recognized his face from news articles and TV profiles. Although I wasn't attracted to him, my girlfriend convinced me I'd have fun, that I should go for it. Date night didn't begin well. He phoned 10 minutes before his scheduled arrival to say he was running late and I'd better take a cab to the hockey game. While seated at the stadium, he ignored me but enjoyed the game, leaping and roaring with delight or disgust, punching the air. I sure didn't remember as much gold when I met him several nights earlier. For hockey night, Goldfinger wore a lot of jewelry. Even the sheen of his hair and skin seemed unnaturally bronzed. When the game ended, we headed to the parking lot. A group of people had gathered around his expensive foreign car. As we approached, he leaned over and whispered, "They're not looking at you. They're looking at my car, Sherry." Rude, and Sherry is not my name. Tack these onto the list of bad date indicators. But my middle name was Hopeful. Make that stupid. I should have listened to my intuition, not my girlfriend. Questions. 1. Why didn't I escape to the row of idling cabs outside the arena? And 2. Why did I agree to stop at his office when he offered to show me something special? Sherry's decision-making skills were sorely lacking that night. "Take a seat," he said, pointing to a couch. He went to a wall unit and pulled out a keyring from his pocket. Then he removed his shiny gold baubles, the bracelets, watch, necklace, and 2 jumbo rings he had to lick before they'd budge. He placed them inside a drawer and locked it. "I'm not going to steal anything," I called out. He mumbled about them getting in the way. "In the way of what?" I asked. No answer. With my coat still buttoned, I watched him disappear behind a door. Suddenly, his office lobby transformed. The bright lights dimmed, and a gas fireplace ignited with a pop. Next, the couch vibrated. I jumped up. It quickly expanded to a semicircular bed. My fight or flight instinct kicked in, and I started to breathe heavily. Got to get out. The moment I fast walked to the door and hauled on the handle, locked. Another door opened, releasing the smell of damp cedar. There stood Goldfinger in a short brown robe. "Here," and he tossed a matching robe at me. "Get comfortable." I let the robe fall to my feet. "I want to go. You said we weren't staying." He stretched across his couch cum bed. "Come on, Sherry. Let's relax in the sauna." My back hugged the door. "No, I want to go. Now." I pulled out my cell phone and quickly punched the number for a cab. I didn't have Goldfinger's address, but knew the company name and added, "Please hurry." He remained on the bed and thumbed through his phone, probably looking for a replacement to slip on his guest robe. Sherry was a disappointing dud. Finally, he threw the ring of keys at me. With shaking hands, I tried several before the cylinder clicked. Glorious freedom. I left the keyring dangling in the lock and fast walked to the road. I'd never felt so relieved to be done with a date. As for that something special, Goldfinger promised to show me, I assumed it was a memento from his trip to Africa, not what was under his short robe. I wonder if it was covered in gold.